The message you're about to listen to is brought to you by Pastor Henry Onyedikachi.
If we don't preach the gospel, we cannot expel darkness from the hearts of men. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I have a commitment. Necessity is laid on me. I have an assignment to preach the gospel.
Stay blessed.
Honor the Lord. Lift your hands. Just thank Him for His love all over this place. Thank Him for His love. It's one of the ways we honor Him. And we honor His name. We reminisce on the things He has done. How He has loved us. How He has paid for our sins. Woo! Thank Him. Thank Him for His love. Just thank Him. You strike the sweetest love chords on the strings of my heart. Your demonstrated love is my victory. On my lips, Your praise is on repeat, like an anthem in my soul, Almighty God. So I love You now and always, my eternal King. Your living love is overwhelming, it's indescribable. Lord, You strike the sweetest love chords on the strings of my heart. Lord, Your demonstrated love is my victory. And it's so amazing that this God that formed the heavens, great is Your love for me. Lord, You load me with mercy in the morning and goodness at night time. And in and out of season, I'm basking in Your grace. So on my lips, Your praises on repeat, like an anthem in my soul, Almighty God. So I love You now and always, You're my eternal King. Lord, Your living love is overwhelming, it's indescribable. Lord, You strike the sweetest love chords on the strings of my heart. Lord, Your demonstrated love is my victory. Thank You for what You've done to show that love. Thank You for the cross. Thank You for the gift of righteousness. Thank You for everything. Thank You. Thank You. Thank You. Grateful to You this morning. I know many of us came here with expectations, but we just want to thank You for the things You've done already. Nothing You will ever do for us will match what You've already done in giving us Your Son. We are grateful to You this morning. Thank You. As a way of bringing honor to Your name, we are saying thank You for the things You've done. Thank You, Father. In Jesus' name. One of the ways you bring honor to the Lord, like you know, is to bless His name, to praise Him, to adore Him for the things He has done. Psalm 29 and verse 2 tells us that when we praise the Lord, when we adore Him, we are bringing honor to Him. Psalm 29 and verse 2. You know, I already showed you that scripture earlier on. You know, know, the psalmist, he said, honor the Lord. I read that with the King James Version. He said, give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. And that word glory, like I showed you, is the Hebrew word kabod. It also means honor. And how do you give unto the Lord glory due to his name in this verse? Worship the Lord in the beauty of his holiness. And so when you are lifting your voice and you're worshiping the Lord, you are honoring him. So there should be such moments in your life. You know, I was teaching at, you know, during our mentorship sessions within the week, within last week. One of the things I say to them is this. You know, there are a lot of people, I don't know why God is leading me this way to say that again. There are a lot of people who are not fervent in their walk with God today, because there was something they trusted God for at a time, and in a sense, it didn't happen the way they wanted it. And many of them stopped serving God. Many of them stopped being serious with God. One of the things I said on that day is the fact that, or in those meetings, because I said that in the three meetings we attended last week, the same thing. The Lord put it in my spirit three times and I said the same things. The fact that the problem, the reason you stop serving God because things are not working, is because we are serving him for the things he will give you. Stop serving God for what he will do. Serve him for what he has done. Follow him for what he has done. What has he done? He has paid for your sins. Such that even if you do not get any other thing from the Lord, there is something he has done. He has forgiven you your sins. He has given you his righteousness. He has accepted you in the beloved. He gave himself for us. As when we are praising the Lord, before you begin to think about the car he gave you and all of that, think about what he has done in paying for your sins, in accepting you, in forgiving you. Don't say worship in the beauty of his holiness. Let's bless him for his love. And this love is not demonstrated primarily in the miracles that he gives you. It is primarily demonstrated in the price he has paid for you on the cross. Anyone here grateful for the cross of Jesus? Anyone here grateful for the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross? Lift your hands in the next 1 minute and just thank him for the cross. Thank you for the price he has paid. That's why we are saved. That's why we are redeemed. That's why we are redeemed. That's why we can never go to hell. That's why our sins are forgiven. Away from every other thing that he can give us, which he will definitely give us. But thank him for the cross. Thank him. Thank him. Oh, yes. Oh, thank you. Just thank him. Take 1 minute. You know this song? Stop playing that. Just thank him. Only you are holy. Only you are worthy. Only you are wonderful. For there's no us holy, but at this time we are adoring him, only him. When we say only him is holy, one of the things we mean is that only him stands in his capacity as God. Only him stands. Holiness, like I told you, is to be set apart. Only him is in a class of his own. He's the only God. Only you are wonderful. Oh yes. For there's no one else like you. Who is faithful, faithful. All my life. Father, we honor you this morning. Only you paid for our sins. Only you gave us your righteousness. Only you forgave all our sins. Only you redeemed us. Only you. And we are grateful to you, not just for the miracles we get on a daily basis, but for that which you've done already by your sacrifice on the cross. Thank you, Father, this morning once again. Thank you, Father. And we open our hearts to understanding and revelation, clarity in your word, and revelation that comes by mighty utterance. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Glory to God. You might be seated. Good morning, everyone. Hallelujah. Okay, so we are on the believer's honor code. Hallelujah. The believer's honor code. You know, I've said this again and again. You know, I want to repeat what I said last week, or what I said on Thursday. And I'm still going to repeat that in the second service if the Lord brings that to my knowledge again or to my remembrance. You know, there is a kind of person you should be becoming when you're coming to church. And I said that on Thursday. There is a kind of person you should be becoming. The proof that church is working in your life is that you're becoming the kind of person. And it is actually true for every institute of learning. There is something they want you to be. If you are in the medical school, they want that before you entered, you will not be able to give injection, but by the time you'll be going, you'll be able to administer some kind of injections. You know, there is something they want you to know. But apart from knowledge, there is something God wants you to be. There is a kind of person that God wants you to be. And that's why we come to church. Are you following me? There's a kind of person God wants you to be. There is a way God wants you to begin to talk because you're coming to church. There is a way God wants you to begin to act because you're coming to church. There is a way God wants you to begin to dress when you're coming to church. That is why, let me say this to you. If you are coming to church and you are not ready to adjust, just stop coming. Because the purpose of church is that you must be adjusting your lifestyle. That's a major sign of spiritual growth. That when people come to church and maybe we teach against what they believe in. Maybe we teach about their dress code that is not so good, or maybe the way they reason, and they pick offense. You know, they are actually fighting what church is meant to do for them. Church is meant to turn you to a certain kind of person. I follow what I'm saying now. Well, say, maybe we're teaching against, you know, some things that you've believed. Sometimes there are ideologies you've held on to for a very long time. Maybe you believe this is the way women should behave, or this is the way men should behave, or this is the way wives should behave, or this is the way children should behave. And then we are bringing God's word. I said, I don't want that. You know what? You are actually rejecting the real purpose of coming to church. Church wants to, the aim of your coming to church is to turn you to a certain kind of person. So when you complain, this church is trying to change me into who I am not. That's the purpose of church. To actually change you into who you were not before you came. Are you following what I'm talking about? So there must be change. And that's why once in a while, and as often as we can, not even once in a while, we must endeavor as pastors to bring teachings that will challenge the lifestyle of believers and demand change from them. I'll say that again. A pastor must learn to bring teachings that will challenge the lifestyle of believers and demand change from them. That is not preaching legalism. That is not preaching legal. That's not preaching the law. That is demanding that they change their lifestyle in accordance to the change that have occurred in their spirit. Because your spirit man is changed. Your spirit man is saved. Your spirit man is transformed. We must now begin to demand that you change in your conduct and your lifestyle and pattern your life after the change that have already occurred in your spirit. Are you following what I'm talking about? So when we bring teachings like honor, it's not because we want to change, maybe turn you into who you don't know. It's actually to turn you into who God wants you to be.
And that's why a believer must be careful as to what he tags as two things I'm going to say. What we tag as condemnation must be very careful. And the popular one now is what you tag as judgment. Now, these days you confront a believer with his sin and demand that he changes. He says, judge not, that you be not judged. What is judging? Do you know what it means? Judging or you be not judged. So you say, why are you dressing like that? He said, you're judging me. The Bible says, judge not. Come on. The same Bible that said, judge not. Paul spoke in Ephesians 4 verse 28, let him that stole steal no more. The thieves in church did not say, you are judging me. Are you following me? Well, we confront you according to the word of God. That is not judgment. That is love. We're actually loving you. Because we are trying to demand that you change your lifestyle in accordance, you see, in accordance to the change that have occurred in your spirit. Found in God's word. You know, something happened. Or something happens often. You know, there are some people that were talking to some of my people here. They say, any day we come to your church. Because some of these guys are into internet fraud and all of that. Sometimes my people will invite them. I say, come. They say, any day we come to, it's like your pastor. Now, totally, I don't know these people. I don't know their faces. But my people here were now telling me, any day we come to your church, it's like your pastor knows that we've come. He will start preaching against Yahoo. Your pastor is judging us. He hates Yahoo boys. And it makes me laugh. I don't even know. Till now, I don't know their faces. But you know what happens? Any day they walk in, somehow, no matter what I'm teaching on, the Holy Ghost must light that thing up in my spirit. And once I'm going to talk about it, they feel you are judging me. What they should have actually understood, that is a way of God showing them love. There's a reason that matter comes up every time. And so if you feel like, every time I come to this church, it's like once I come in, pastor sees me, start talking about indecent dressing. It's because there is something about that. Are you following me? Every time he sees me, he begins to talk about people that don't behave well. That's exactly what we are saying. And I can promise you, next time you come, it will come up again. It doesn't matter the series. Are you too? Have you not thought about the fact that it is supernatural? That we can be teaching something entirely different. We can be teaching money, prosperity. And then you come in somehow, somewhere in the middle. We will still address that you're in the same dressing. There is a reason God is bringing that up. Are you following what I'm saying now? Because there's a kind of person you must be becoming. I want to say that again. There is something you must be changing into if you're coming to church. Now, if that is not happening, church is not working in your life. That's why Ephesians 4 verse 11, he gave some apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers in verse 12 for the perfecting of the saints. For the perfection of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the advancement of the body of Christ. Verse 13, till we all come to the unity of the faith, the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That is something God wants you to be. He wants you to grow into something. And so, your desire to come to church and remain the way you are is an unholy desire. You know, I was talking to the ministers in the office yesterday. There are many churches today. Now, I'm not trying to say that many churches that are doing well and are big, that they are all compromised. That's what I was saying. But there are many big churches today, and the only reason they are big is because they allow people to come to the church and still remain the way they are. So you can come. We don't judge here. We listen. Uh-huh. So you can wear your short gown and come. We will not judge you. You can talk in. You can even come there. You have strength. We will not judge you. What are all those things? You can do anything. No, that's not. In God's word, we don't judge. But we listen and we correct. It's not judging. We correct you. And the correction is able to correct me in love. What do you understand by correction in love? You think it's to pat your back? Sometimes correction in love can be stern. The Bible said open rebuke is better than secret love. So open rebuke is also correction in love. So what is the love? The love is that they crossed my mind to correct you. Because if I don't care about you, I won't bother correcting you. Are you following me? And so the fact that I'm shouting at you, why did you come late? Correct is your late coming. Don't say, you should have corrected me in love. What do you think love is? I should pat your back.
Glory to God.
All I mean to that is just to say, we are going to challenge your lifestyle at different times. Challenge your belief system. And sometimes it can be over simple matters. But God is interested in those things. Are you following me, friends? And so as we are teaching on honor, it is because there is something God wants you to be. That is the way he wants you to act. You know, on Thursday, we're looking at how that we must honor everyone. Did that teaching bless you on Thursday? We must honor everybody and even honor your political leaders. Many people didn't receive that well. But I know it has digested so far. Glory to God. And you notice, God's word is just so clear and it doesn't adjust to your emotions. You may like it, you may not like it, it's just there. You might be angry, you might be happy, it's just there. It's not going to change. And I gave you a general reason last week, if you remember, why you must honor people. And I told you, you do not honor people because they are honorable. You know, in John 5 verse 23, you know, that there's something we do. By Thursday or by next Sunday, I'm going to talk much more about honor between married couples. So if, even if you're not married, you can come. Is that okay? So I begin to learn how to marry. Glory to God. But there is something we say around those subjects. People say, and it sounds good, but it's not actually correct. They say the Bible said, husband, love your wife as Christ loved the church. And the Bible said, wife, submit to your husband. You've heard all those things. They now say things like, if a husband loves his, if you love your woman, she will submit to you. That thing is not correct. The instructions in God's word are not dependent on each other. The Bible did not say, if a man loves the wife submit to him. The Bible said, a man should love the wife, a wife should submit to the husband. So even if a wife is not submitting, a man is to love her. That's the instruction in God's word. Actually, because you try to say, no, how can I submit to you? Well, you're not loving me. No. Actually, right, if you submit to someone, it is easier to love. Established. If you love someone, it's easier for the person to submit to you. We're not fighting that. But do not think that someone's disobedience justifies your own disobedience. So because he is not loving me, I will not submit to him. He is disobedient. You are also disobedient to God's word. When we get there, you will see it. And I'm saying this because the reason we honor people is not because they are honorable. It's not because they are perfect. Last week, we were looking at how to behave even in your workplace. And you saw where the Bible said, even when your boss is not a good person, you should submit to them. You should honor them. Do you remember that? If they're not good people. So John 5:23 tells us why we honor people. He said that all men should honor the Son. This is talking about Jesus. Even as they honor the Father. He that honored the Son, honored not the Father which has sent him. So when you do not honor Jesus, you're not honoring the Father. Why? It was the Father that sent him. So we honor people because, two things I said, because of who sent them and sometimes because of where they come from. When I was teaching you about honoring all men, we honor all men basically because they are God's creation. And because God himself has value on them. If he didn't value them, he wouldn't die for them on the cross. Because of how he values them, he must also honor all men. Just like when we talk about honoring your pastor, same thing. You don't honor your pastor because he's perfect. You honor your pastor because God sent him. Simple. Today, I want to start talking about honor in the family. You also find out that you honor people in your family, your father, your mother, your spouse, and all of that, even your siblings. Not necessarily because they're going to be perfect. But because of what they represent in your life. Are you following me? And you better learn what I'm saying. Because it's going to help in so many ways. It's going to help in so many ways. Any family where honor is lacking is a free place for the enemy to thrive. The reason is simple. Satan loves disorder. Yes. Any place where there is no proper honor, honor from husband, between husband and wife, honor between parents and kids and all of that, you always find that the devil can thrive there. He loves where there is disorder. So there must be honor between fathers and sons, between husbands and wives. I will even say between siblings. When there is no honor, Satan will find it easy to attack the peace of your home. The peace in your home. Whenever any family you get to, where the children do not regard their father, the children don't regard their parents for whatever reason. Let me tell you that there is a way things will be going in that family. This is what I'm going to tell you today. Many of you will have to go home and go and repent. Because parents are not perfect and there is no promise in God's word that they will be. But they are who they are. They are your parents. Are you following what I'm saying now? And there is an honor you must give them. One of the things I've seen from God's word is that the devil always tries to sow seed of dishonor and it never ends well in any family you find it. For instance, Reuben dishonored his father. Genesis 49, verse 1. Look at that. Reuben dishonored his father. Genesis 49 and verse 1. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. And Jacob called unto his sons and said, gather yourselves together that I may tell you that which shall befall you in the last days. Gather yourselves together and hear ye sons of Jacob and hearken unto Israel your father. Verse 3. Reuben, thou art my first son, my firstborn, my might and the beginning of my strength, the excellency of dignity and the excellency of power, unstable as waters, thou shalt not excel. Why? Because thou wentest up to thy father's bed. Thou then defilest thou it. He went up to my couch. You know what happened? Reuben dishonored his father by taking one of his father's concubines to sleep it. And that was a mark of dishonor. And the father told him, you will not excel. You know, whether you know it or not, there is a setback that follows people that walk in dishonor towards their parents. You are not going to like what I'm saying today. You might think it's not so new creation, but just listen to me. Are you following me? Go to verse 3. Give me like New Living Translation. I'm going to say a lot of things in order today, of course. Say, Reuben, you are my firstborn, my strength, the child of my vigorous youth. You are first in rank and first in power. You can imagine, do you know the kind of love that parents have for their firstborn children? You can't measure it. Because that's their first experience. That's their first experience at fatherhood, at motherhood. You know, there is always that connection. So that's why most parents, even when they are older children, they have to learn to deliberately share that love among other children. Have you observed what I'm saying now? It's there. Actually, mothers and their firstborn sons. Fathers and their... So there's always that connection. So you would have expected that Reuben and Jacob should have this flow. As a matter of fact, Jacob had Reuben as a young man. Their age difference wouldn't be so much. Just like when you give birth to a child when you're 25 or 27 or 28, you guys are just 28 years apart, unlike when you give birth to a child when you're 40. Right? So you can imagine when Jacob was 50, Reuben would be in his 20s. You know, they could actually go have a drink together. So he called him the child of my youth. But look at the next verse, verse 4. But you are as unruly as a flood. You will be first no longer. For you went to bed with my wife. You defiled my marriage couch. That level of dishonor, that thing stopped Reuben from prospering. You are smiling? You are wondering what gave him the guts. But I'm already telling you what gave him the guts. Because I'm telling you, imagine the father had him at 25. Right? And then he went, and the father, you know, even when the father was 40, 50, he was still taking one or two concubines. So there are chances that some of the concubines that he has taken in will be almost the same age grade as Reuben. And he felt it was okay. The height of dishonor. And he told him, you'll be first no longer. There is something that sets people back when they live in perpetual dishonor of their parents. Are you following me?
So I just showed you Reuben's family. I mean Jacob's family. I can also show you some other families. I can show you David's family. We don't have time to look at that. Absalom dishonored his father and ran his father out of town. His son was on another level. He first of all played some kind of politics. You know, the father was the king. When people were, if you're coming to see that 2 Samuel 15, 16, 17, 18, you know, go look at it. When the father, maybe people are coming to see the father, Absalom will set his table way before they meet his father and act like a good person to them and settle their case. And just tell them, when they finish sharing, he will stand up and even cry. He will even hug them. As I wish there is a good king in Israel that will settle your case. He did that and began to win the heart of the people. He ran his father out of town. David went on exile. You know, when we say that there is a curse on dishonor, it doesn't necessarily mean that your father has to curse you. Reuben, the father had to curse him. David never said anything against Absalom, not once. That's a mature man, a trained man. He never spoke negatively to Absalom. He so loved the guy, but then he still ended badly. Absalom also went to the point of sleeping with his father's wives. His own. He did it in the open. He did it on top of their father's house, gathered the whole Israel, slept with his father's concubines in their presence, just to tell the father, you can do nothing. I follow what I'm saying. Now, I'm trying to show you, these things have serious consequences. He says that we are a new creation. Well, you are a new creation, but I'd like you to realize something. I've taught you many times. There are many things you will do. God will not punish you. But there are things that if you keep doing, you are going to open the door for the devil to enter your home. Example is the issue of love. He said, be angry but sin not, neither give place to the devil. So there is a way you keep walking, you give place to the devil. Says somebody, if I give place to the devil, I can rebuke him and he will go. That's also true. But you keep fighting battles. You keep rebuking, you keep opening, you keep rebuking. That cycle will continue in your life. Are you guys following what I'm saying? And the good thing is that you are getting older. And so you're going to be a father or mother one day. Are you following me? And you'll get it when the time comes. You also have the case of Noah's family. That story, we're going to look at it again and again. But let's just open it for now. Noah's family in Genesis chapter 9 verse 20. Noah got drunk. Because this particular case is actually peculiar because Noah was in the wrong. Noah got drunk and started drinking. You know, he planted a vineyard and began to drink. He got so drunk and was naked. Fell down naked in his room. And one of his sons walked in and saw him naked. We're going to look at this later. And started laughing at the father because the father was naked. After laughing, he went and called his two other brothers. Come and see, daddy's naked in the room. Are you following me? Some things are marks and acts of dishonor to parents. But the other two sons were wise. They took a blanket, entered that room with their back, and covered their father. The other son went home with a curse. Now, he said this is the Old Testament. I know. I'm going to show you New Testament. I'm just building it up. I follow what I'm saying. You can't just... there are instructions in God's word that are to shape you. So we're looking at Noah, who wasn't a very perfect man at this point. He planted a vineyard and he drank so much and he fell down. And you think whatever he said over his sons will not work because he was drunk? No, sir. That is something he represents in their life. Are you following me? And that's why you must walk in honor. You see, fatherhood is a big deal. Whether it is biological fatherhood or spiritual fatherhood, every kind of fatherhood, God honors it. God honors it. And that's why personally as a pastor, when I get that, I'm going to show you, I don't take spiritual fatherhood very lightly. All this being my father, I'm very careful with that. Because I know it has heavy implications. So you don't walk in dishonor towards these people, your father, your parents, There are many scriptures that actually teach honor to your parents. I'll read some of them for you. First is Exodus chapter 20 and verse 12. I'll just read some for you. Exodus 20 and verse 12. It says, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. We're going to come to this soon. Deuteronomy 5 and verse 16. Deuteronomy 5. Glory to God. And verse 16. Honor thy father and thy mother as the Lord thy God commanded thee. Okay? That thy days may be prolonged and that it may go well with thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Mark chapter 7. Mark chapter 7. Hallelujah. Mark chapter 7 and verse 10. For Moses said, honor thy father and thy mother. Whoso curseth father or mother, let him die the death. Let him die the death. I'm going to come to this particular scripture later. Because there are other verses we're going to look at. Luke chapter 18 and verse 20. Luke chapter 18 and verse 20. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor thy father and mother. You know, when I see some new creation people. Of course, I'm a new creation guy. I'm just saying. When I see some new creation people say things like, oh, this honor your father and mother is an Old Testament thing. Now, do you not know that do not kill is an Old Testament instruction? Are you not aware? Do not kill. Do not steal. It's Old Testament. We are not in a fight to discard the Old Testament. As a matter of fact, without the Old Testament, there is no Bible. If I let me even tell you something that is going to help you, that I may touch at razor facts. You may not like what I'm going to say. But if you don't understand it, leave it. The real Bible is the Old Testament. Do you know what I said? The real Bible. That's what we call the scriptures. I've told that many times. That's the real thing. So what is the New Testament? New Testament is the light of the gospel shining on the apostles and they are explaining the Old Testament to you. So what was Paul doing in Romans? Explaining the Old Testament. What was he doing in Ephesians? The same thing. So when he was telling Timothy, study to show yourself approved, what was he asking him to study? The Old Testament. The only thing is that it must be interpreted in the light of Christ's death and resurrection. Don't discard it. I get the point. So, for instance, there are instructions, I'll give you an example now. There are ordinances in the Old Testament that we don't have to follow because Christ has died. For instance, there's an ordinance like Passover. We don't have to celebrate Passover because Christ is our Passover now. The Passover they were celebrating was to point to the fact that Christ will be our Passover, will be sacrificed for us. Now, we don't have to celebrate Passover. But there are principles and instructions around that Passover celebration that we must copy. I give an example. First fruit. You will not hear me preach first fruit. In the sense of saying, you want to pay your first salary, bring it to church. If you want to do that, it's fine. God can instruct you to do that actually. But you don't hear me preach that as a doctrine. However, there is a principle in first fruits to learn. And that's the principle of honor. Honor the Lord with the first fruit of your increase. Pastor, it's ready this morning. Proverbs 3 and verse 9. And Message Bible said, honor the Lord with the first and your best. And that's the principle of first fruits. That's the principle of first fruits. It doesn't mean that because Christ is our first fruits now, that we discard all the instructions and all the principles that come with it. Said, honor God with everything you own. Give him the first and the best. You still won't get what I'm saying now. So we're not under the law, but there are instructions there that will not destroy you if you obey them. Because actually, every moral instruction you see in the Old Testament, in one way or the other, was repeated in the New. Go and read your Bible again, you'll find it. So all these are, I say, honor father and mother is an Old Testament. I don't even know who taught you that one. Did your father not force you to memorize Ephesians 6:1-3? Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Honor your father and mother. For this is right. Hallelujah. Say this, which is the first commandment, with a promise that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And Paul wasn't speaking this as an Old Testament instruction. He was, you notice, the same thing we read in Exodus 20 verse 9. It's what Paul is quoting here. Same thing. He tells you that it still starts in the New Testament. And if you honor your father and mother, there is a blessing attached to it. There is. Since I thought you are blessing, Christ, those spiritual blessings, you better listen to me this morning. Are you following me? So other scriptures I can show you. Okay, I've shown you. Have I shown you Luke 18 verse 20? Okay. So I'm already showing you first, there is a blessing of long life attached to honoring your father. I strongly believe that anyone that wants to live long should stay in honor. That shuts the door for the devil to come and run riot around your life. And it came again and again. First, you find it in Leviticus 20 and verse 9. Let me show other scriptures that I have not shown you. Leviticus 20 and verse 9. It said, for everyone that curseth his father or his mother shall be surely put to death. For he has cursed his father or his mother, his blood shall be upon him. Imagine that. The Old Testament was strong. Now, this is the place where you do not obey it word for word. You don't have to stone people. But you learn the principle being taught there, which is honor your father and mother. Are you following what I'm talking about here? So Deuteronomy 27 and verse 16. Deuteronomy 27 and verse 16. He said, cursed be he that setteth light by his father or his mother. Give me like NLT of this verse. You live in translation. Cursed is anyone who dishonors father or mother. And other people will reply, amen. That was a big deal, man. It was a big deal. And it's still a big deal. If it's not, Jesus will not repeat it. If it is not, Paul will not repeat it. In Matthew chapter 15 and verse 4. Matthew chapter 15 and verse 4. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Are you enjoying the word of God? You must enjoy it. For God commanded, saying, honor thy father and mother. He that curseth father or mother, let him die the death. See, people that walk in honor, that's what Ephesians 6 was saying. He said that thing is the first commandment that had a promise attached to it. What is that promise? That it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. And that's why a generation that walks a lot in dishonor. And I heard a man of God say this. You might have said he took it too far. But he said the level of dishonor we have in our generation, we might have a lot of untimely deaths. Now you might say he took it too far. But that really gave me a rethink. I really thought about it. A generation that fears nobody, that can talk to anybody, talk to their father anyhow, say whatever they want to say. You know, Malachi 4 verse 6, when he was talking about the ministry of Elijah that was to come and all of that, he said, he shall turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. Because, and I tell you what it means, every family where father and children are fighting, you will always find things going in different ways in that family. Observe what I'm saying. Where father and children rather are in contention, children don't listen to their parents, you always find that it will be easy for the devil to come and thrive in that place and mess things up. And I can tell you, 85% of the time, it is the children that suffer it. Are you following what I'm saying? Now, I'm saying this, and that as I'm speaking now, I'm speaking by the Spirit, but I'm seeing about 4 or 5 families. What I'm saying verbatim, God has told you that's the issue in your family. Because in your home, you children are totally against your parents and you're always fighting. And things have been going up and down. You might have to fix that thing. Because you're actually empowering the devil in your home. You're doing that. Are you guys what I'm talking about? You're empowering him in your home. So that is a blessing. And like, you know, so the person that always dishonors the father, one of the things that he does is that he puts you in a bad place. He puts you in a bad place. Why did I call it a bad place? One of the major benefits of honoring your father and your mother is that they are going to speak a blessing over you. And you already know that blessing or impartation, whatever we call it, flows in the direction of honor. Are you following me? Do you remember Genesis 27? You know, we use that Genesis 27 to teach impartation, but in proper context, Genesis 27 was not actually a pastor blessing the children. It was actually a father, Isaac, blessing Jacob, his biological child. So Isaac told his son, go bring me venison. Go get me something. Let me eat and bless you. Because it was so important. Look at how Rebecca was fighting so that, you know, the blessing will rest upon her preferred child. Because she understood that the blessing that a father gives to a son can sustain him. That's why as you guys are, as we are all growing, you're becoming fathers, you're becoming mothers. One of the things we practice a lot in my home, and I've been teaching that all the while, I ask you to practice a lot. As a father or a mother, bless your children a lot. At different, take every opportunity to bless them. They want to go to school, lay hands on them and say, you are blessed, you're going to flourish upon the earth. Are you getting what I'm talking about? You will stand above your equals. No one will be able to put you down. I stand as your father and I take back every negative effect of words that have gone ahead of you. Every wrong word that people have said to you, I cancel the effect of those words. Say that a lot. From when they are young, every time they call you on the phone, you are blessed. And you notice, and that's what you observe, whenever, you know, the exalted kids, you are done with church. I've said this many times, and they just come and greet me. Pastor, there is no exalted kid that comes to greet me that I don't speak a blessing over. I do it every day. If they come to greet me 10 times, I bless them 10 times. Why? I'm standing as a spiritual father now. Are you following what I'm talking about? Every time. Once they come, you're blessed. No, it doesn't matter. Children can pray or stand for themselves. Are you following what I'm saying? I don't know if this is a big digression, but it's just coming. Children cannot stand. A child of 1, 2, 3, they can't stand and fight off those devils by themselves. This is where a parent has to come in. So as much as you can, you speak a blessing over them. And in Israel, they understood this a lot. So when it was time for Jacob, when Jacob came of age, the mother knew that what will stand this child out is that the blessing will speak over him. Now think of the man or the child who dishonors the father. Who will speak over you? And even when they speak, it's not going to work. Because I've told you, honor and impartation go hand in hand. Hear what I'm saying. Your father does not have to be perfect. Your mother does not have to be perfect. It is just who they are. It's just who they are. That's why there are certain things we don't allow here. For instance, we want to wed you in this church. Before we start your marital process, you must bring a letter of consent from your parents, both parents, showing that we approve of this marriage. Because we know that the blessing over your home, yes, I will bless you as your pastor, but I need your parents to also speak a blessing over your home. That's why if you observe all our weddings, before I begin to bless the couple in any wedding, I must invite the both parents to come and pray. Have you observed that? That's the reason we do that. That's the reason we do that. How you feel what I'm saying now? So that blessing that they carry over you, you don't play with it because you are just a dishonorable person acting anyhow. Those words will not work. Those words will fail. Now I'm speaking to you because I know many of you, and you see why I'm saying this. Many of you I know, you're no longer living with your parents. Many of you have, you know, you're already on your own. You're doing life on your own and surviving. But make sure you're not a dishonorable person. Make sure you're not. Oh. Are you following me? And that's one of the ways you begin to honor your parents, even from this service. First is to forgive them. Forgive them. Many young people are angry and hurting. And I want to say to you, if you do not forgive, to start with, if you don't forgive your parents, you're actually committing sin because you're actually disobeying God's word. Let's start with that. If you do not forgive your parents, okay, you are possibly going to repeat whatever you are angry with. Eli have said that many times, and I can prove it to you. The reason that is so is, if you do not forgive your parents, if you are angry, you are hurting against your parents, those thoughts, the thoughts of them and what they did to you, is filling your mind. And it will fill your mind so much, it will produce something. Because whatever takes over your life will produce something in your life. It will produce the same thing. Whatever fills your mind will produce a certain kind of person. It is from the abundance of the heart, for instance, that the mouth speaketh. It's from the, you see, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. All of that. So when you allow those thoughts, my father, he was, you get to me, every time he was doing this, he was never there for us. All of that. It fills your heart. Let me even say something. And I thank God for bringing it to my spirit. There is something in our generation we need to actually correct. We live in a generation where we despise fathers and we celebrate mothers. Fathers and mothers are important. They carry an impact to your life. But don't do that. Everybody wants to say, if I blow, I'll fly my mother abroad. If I blow, I'll do this to my mother. Because my father, he wasn't there for me. Let me say this to you. And some boys are perpetuating. You are going to be a father one day. The reason is this. The reason why it looks like, I know there are some men that are irresponsible. Irresponsibility does not have gender. There are also irresponsible women. Do you understand what I'm saying? The reason why it looks like your father is not there for you is because the African man, which is not correct, is taught to make money. Some of those times you thought it was your mother paying your school fees for you, your father was giving her the money to pay. And that's why women, wives must be very wise to communicate properly. So that you do not ignorantly plant seeds of hatred in the heart of your child towards their father. When your husband gives you school fees, even if you're the one that brought the school fees, say, we are paying this for you. We. So that they will realize, because most people say, my mother was there for me. You know, sometimes a father gives you 2,000 to go back. You're going to hostel. Gives you 2,000. Or maybe 5,000. Say, that is not enough. If I transfer myself 2K and I buy this, it's not enough. Your father says, go to school. Then look at now, your mother will call you behind and say, sorry, oh, don't mind him. Let me give you this extra 500. You now post on your status, mothers are the best. Nobody like mother. Now, are you very wise? Your mother gave you a title of what your father gave you. Say, mothers are the best. They are so understanding. I'm not against mothers. When I'm talking about the blessing of fatherhood, fatherhood is a structure. It's not just about gender. So, a mother also carries the same blessing. You know what I'm saying? But I'm saying, don't try to despise one and celebrate the other. Don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do that. And it's very deep in Igbo culture. Very deep. What do we buy for the women? We buy them box of clothes, wrapper. What do we buy for the men? Snap. Bottle of snap is okay. Don't be like that, oh. Don't ever be like that. Don't be like that. And it all starts by the father, from the fact that we think our fathers have hurt us. He wasn't there for me. When, let me tell you, sometimes if you go through what your father went through, you will not be there for yourself. You will not be there. He said, you will not even be there for you. You will not be around. If you go through, you know the things that happens on the, so if you are, you know, it's actually when you begin to grow up as a man to a certain age, you now begin to understand your father very well. Have you observed? You say, this man, he wasn't foolish after all. You now begin to see that daddy doesn't always smile. You will now see why he doesn't smile. You now understand why he doesn't smile. Because I was telling you on Thursday, anybody that is spending money does not smile. Doesn't smile. You come with money. Tissue has finished. Water has finished. Children's could be. After you spend, you cannot be happy. And I'm saying you must start forgiving your father and your mother if you're angry with your parents. Forgive them. They are not supposed to be perfect. They are not supposed to be. To start with, you are not. And after this meeting, you might need to put a call across to your people at home and just say something good to them. I know the African parents that are not used to any emotional rubbish.
Say, don't call me and say you love me. I don't want that. But you know, once in a while, just let your parents know that, first of all, you forgive them. Let me start with that before I go to other things. Forgive them. Forgive them. Forgive them. Parents are not supposed to be perfect. Check your Bible. There are parents that also hurt their kids. But let me tell you, you know, bitterness, I've kept saying, is like swallowing poison and expecting the other person to fall and die. It is you that took poison that it will kill. Because bitterness does nothing against the other person. It does something to you. Sometimes the person you are angry, have you observed your father you are angry with is moving about his business. It's you that is hurting. And so the earlier you begin to walk in forgiveness, you are even living the Christian life. That's why I started by saying that is a kind of person you must be becoming if you're coming to church. One of them is a forgiving person. Someone that can easily forgive hurts. Let go of things. So what if I forgive him and he's still doing more? That's why you keep forgiving. That's why you keep forgiving. Because if you are sincere, you will know that in most cases, if your parents knew better, they would do better. For real, sometimes they are at the level at which they understand, at which they are at the level that they understand. You know, what I'm saying to you might be saying, you don't know my father. Let me tell you, I'm a pastor. And I've pastored young people, both formally and informally, for close to 19 years now. Right? So I've seen different cases of parent-child disagreement. So there is nothing you want to share with me that is bigger than what I've heard. I've heard some that I cannot even say with my mouth. But you know, at the end of the day, there must be forgiveness. Are you following me? There must be forgiveness. And if you are sincere, some of the things you were angry with your dad about 5 years ago, now you think about it, you're no more angry. Because somehow you now understand. Sometimes it is growth that will make us understand. It's growth that make us understand. You see how when you come to church, you're frowning your face because you don't have teeth to go back. Imagine as you don't have teeth to go back, you also have people waiting for you to wait for you to come home. And I entered one those days, one tricycle one day. Keke, not tricycle. I entered Keke one day. The other side of it. And then this Keke man was, that was a very long time ago. We just entered. I don't know, nothing led to that conversation. He just told me, you see women. I'm saying nothing left. There was nothing we were talking about. I said, you see women. Fear women. I said, look, what is happening? At first I didn't reply, but he didn't need my answer. He was just talking to him. See, fear women. He said, as you're looking at me, I've been in the mechanics this morning. Everything I've made today is less than 1,000. Yet, they are waiting for me at home to bring feeding money. You know, that kind of, I was just laughing. I didn't know what to tell him. After that, I said, but they're not that bad. They say women. I say, even your mother. They say, even my mother. Now, he doesn't know any better. He doesn't know any better. But now, that kind of person will be mean to everybody in his house. And that doesn't justify what they're doing, but that doesn't also justify your own unforgiveness. Two wrongs don't make a right. Father wronged you. You must also wrong yourself and wrong and dishonor the Lord by living in bitterness. And so you honor by forgiving them. I want to even add one more thing. You honor them by protecting them, even when they are not so perfect. That was what Noah's child did not do. Your father was drunk. You should have covered your father's nakedness. But he began to tell others about the nakedness. Now, protecting does not mean condoning what they're doing wrong. But it simply means you don't begin to wash your father's dirty linen outside. Or your mother's. You stay in honor. You stay in honor. You also honor them by walking in respect and listening to what they say. Respecting what they say. Now, on Thursday, I'm going to deal with something.
Because obviously I cannot have time for that today. What of when there are disagreements, when what my dad is saying is against the word of God? I'm going to address that on Thursday. When what my parents are saying is against what God will stand for? What if I want to marry and the person I brought is actually a good Christian, but my parents are saying no because he's from so-so tribe? What do I do? I'm going to address that on Thursday. I follow what I'm saying. What if I want to go to this church and my dad said I cannot go to this church, but I know that the church I was going to, I'm not growing there. How do I handle it and still be in honor? We're going to deal with that on Thursday. But then apart from all these peculiarities, walk in honor, respect. Listen to them. Listen to them. Obey what they say. Proverbs 13 verse 1. If you're a wise man, you will listen. Proverbs 13 and verse 1. A wise son heareth his father's instruction, but a scorner heareth not rebuke. Must hear your father's instruction. Must listen to your father's instruction. So you listen, you obey what they say. You obey what they say. Are you getting blessed? And one last thing I'm going to say for today, then we'll close. Honor your parents financially. Honor them financially. Honor them by giving them money. That's what I mean. All the major ways you're going to walk in honor towards your father, towards your mother, is that you give to them. It's not only pastor that you honor with money. I've told you on Thursday, it is actually very difficult to talk about honor without talking about giving. It's very hard. Almost every kind of honor, you're going to find giving somewhere. One of the ways you honor your pastor is to give to them. But I can also tell you, one of the ways you honor your parents is to give to them. How did Isaac begin to bless Jacob or Esau? He said, go bring me something. This is your biological father. And I tell you, by principle, if you have a habit of sending gifts home, listen, I'm not just saying on their birthday or next Sunday now, Mothering Sunday. It's not only those days. Have that habit. I feel what I'm saying. Now, you don't have to be very rich. Just give gifts of honor to them. Not that it's a correction I've given many times, but this time I have to give it from God's word. The fact that giving to church, giving to your pastor, does not cover for giving to your parents. It doesn't. I feel what I'm saying. It does not. The instructions in God's word are exclusive. They are just on their own. You can't say, well, I'm giving to church, why would I give my parents to? That one is also an instruction in God's word. You can't say, well, I'm giving to my parents, I cannot give to church. It's also an instruction in God's word. So where will I get all this money to be able to give? God will make you rich. But you must give. Giving to your pastor does not cover for giving to your parents. Now, if your parents are no more, it's okay. If there is anybody playing that role, because there are some, I know there are peculiar cases where some people, their parents are late, and it is their pastors playing the role of both spiritual and biological parents for them. That's okay. But if there's any uncle or whoever playing that role, or maybe it's only your father that is alive, only your mom, honor the person financially. This one doesn't cover for this one. You must understand how it works in God's word. And Jesus gave a teaching in this light. I think that's Mark 7 and verse 10. Because of our time, give me, New Living Translation, Mark 7 and verse 10. He said, for instance, watch what Jesus was saying. Moses gave you this law from God. Honor your father and mother. Anyone who speaks disrespectfully to father or mother must be put to death. Now see verse 11. But you say it is all right for people to say to their parents, sorry, I can't help you, for I vow to give to God what I would have given to you. Imagine that. Say, daddy, I don't have anything because I'm giving to God. Now, is Jesus teaching against giving to the Lord? No. But you cannot use giving to the Lord as an excuse for not honoring your parents. It's awful I'm talking about this morning. He said, for I vow to give to God what I would have given to you. See the next verse, verse 12. In this way, you let them disregard their needy parents. I'll stop at 13. Their needy parents. And so you cancel the word of God in order to hand down your own tradition. Give me like King James of this verse. King James, quickly. He said, making the word of God have no effect through your tradition. So we come up with traditions and things we believe in that makes the word of God have no effect. What Jesus is trying to say is, you cannot obey this part of God's word and then disregard the other part of God's word. Even if your parents are wealthy, you don't give to your parents because they're broke. If it is not money, let it be things. Let it be wine. I teach every man under me, all young people under me, all that, honor your parents monthly. I've said that many times here, right? Honor them monthly. Can be anything. Like if you're still a student, you really don't have, that's still giving to you, it's okay. But even as a student, once in a while, send a recharge card. Once in a while, subscribe for them. You know what they are showing when you are subscribing and doing all of that? You are showing that when you have much more, you will do much more. You got to repent today. Are you following me? Honor your parents. And this, what I'm teaching is show you something. When we teach giving, you say give to the church, give to the Lord, give to your pastor. It's not because the church is broke or your pastor is broke. We teach it because it's an instruction in God's word. We are not teaching this now because your pastor, your father is broke. Sometimes he's even richer than you. But that's honor. You know one of the things that honor does, financial honor does, it makes you feel appreciated. Yeah, I'm a pastor, I can tell you. When someone comes to me, he's totally broke. He says, sir, please, I'm giving an example. Please pray for me, pray for me. And I put my hands on you and I pray. And after 2 weeks, you get a contract of 50 million. And then you just send me a testimony. That I got a contract of 50 million. Thank you for the prayer. In fact, I'm sending a seed to thank you for praying for me. I will feel very appreciated for the verbal, you know, acknowledgement of the fact that I prayed for you and it happened. And for the seed you sent. That's the same way your parents feel. That they sent you to school and did all of this. Every time you send that into them, they feel appreciated. They feel appreciated. Many parents die too quickly because they are never appreciated. Their children do not make our time to say things to them and to give to them. Say things like, daddy, you are trying. Thank you for seeing us through school. Mommy, you are doing well. I know what I'm talking about. Now they're going to die of depression and all of that because you are not doing what you should. So you give to them. You give to them. I know there are overbearing parents. We're going to look at that on Thursday, how to deal with such cases. Because there are actually overbearing parents. There are parents who do not want their children to stand financially. You know that is that type, that part too. Eh? I'm telling you. You know, I'm not an emotional preacher. I'll tell you what God's word says. There are parents who do not let their children stand financially. That one too will be addressed on Thursday. Where you are still surviving, you are earning 30,000, and every week, your dad is calling you, mom is calling, send money, we'll send you to school, you are not going to be able to stand. What it simply means is that by next 10 years, when they will have a need of 5 million, you cannot even help them because the small change that was coming to your hands, there was no chance for you to gather it and build it. Do you get what I'm talking about? So there is that case which I'm going to look at on Thursday, how to deal with it. But on a general note, make up your mind to walk in honor towards your parents. It can be anything. Decide that, okay, I'll be giving to my parents 5% of everything I make every month. I'm going to send it to them. I feel what I'm saying. I'm going to honor them. And again, every place you find honor always attracts favor. You know, I said that on Thursday. Think of anyone that does this, they'll always attract the favor of their parents. And of people around them. What major blessing of walking in honor anywhere is favor. I was showing you last week. You see an honorable person, he always attracts favor from people. So if you've got to repent to this, what if you need to forgive your parents? So if you need to readjust your life? So if you have to become more honorable? And I tell you, when you give to your parents, many of them don't know this. When you give to them, don't just let them say thank you. Let them also say God bless you. And when they say it, take it seriously. It's not the casual God bless you I get on the street. That one is coming from a place of deep appreciation that thanking you for giving to them and that blessing you. So when you give once, give twice, and every time you give, they say thank you. Next time you give, say, ah, mommy, this one is not thank you matter. Oh, bless me, oh, my business and all of that. So it's doing well. And she will say, I'm praying for you. God bless you. Oh, that instance. Are you getting the point? In your life as a Christian, there should be more voice of the blessing speaking over you than negative words spoken over you. The word of God should be, while you are declaring it over yourself, your parents are speaking over you, your pastor is speaking over you, the blessing must be louder in your life than negative words, than curses. Let me tell you, where I stand now, it will be very difficult, and I tell you, impossible for anybody to curse me. It will not stand. There is so much words of blessing that have gone over this life that your curse will neutralize your curse. I'm not joking. Centralize it. There is no day I speak with my spiritual father that it doesn't end with a blessing. No day. And I give to my mom every week, every month. And the casual, oh, God bless you. And sometimes they don't even say it to you. In their prayer. You know one thing about African parents, that they pray very well. Whether they understand what I pray or not, they pray a lot. And in their prayer, they're speaking over you. Blessing you. Be a proper Christian. Walk in honor. This is not about your parents trying to use Ephesians 6 to manipulate you to do what they want. This is about God's word that you must obey. There are peculiarities we're going to touch on Thursday, but before we get there, you adjust your life. Forgive where you need to. Some of you need to leave this meeting to rebuild your relationship with your parents. And I can give you the wisdom of God which you do that. Begin to call them. Begin to call them. So if you've not spoken to your dad or your mom in 6 months or in 3 months, say, he should be on his own, let me be on my own. If I see him, I'll see him. The day you become fatherless, you know that there's a difference between having a useless father and being. So that's better, have a useless father that is alive than to be fatherless. The day you become motherless, you understand. I get to the point. Call. Reach out to them this week. Readjust your life. Don't just do it because I'm teaching this. Let it become part of your being. Are you following me? Be a man and a woman of honor. Amen. Are you blessed? Let's stand to our feet and just give Jesus.
For more information, inquiry, or prayer request, please visit our website at www.henryonyedikachi.com.